From the Lend to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 26th day of March 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with AgMarket.net's Wayne Nelson. It's a special day for Wayne and for us. We'll have an announcement with Wayne in just a few minutes. And then a bit later in our program, we'll take up the weather forecast with Don Dang. He's a day weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And along the way, we'll get an update of what's been happening in the world of agricultural energies from Dan O'Brien at Kansas State University Extension, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online at willag.org, willag.org, or on demand in your favorite podcast applications. Just look up the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, May corn for the day settled at $4.32.5. That was down 5.25. July 6.25 lower at $4.45. In December, the new crop at $4.68, down 6.75. Nearby May beans, $11.99, down 10.25. July 9.25 lower at $12.12.5. And November soybeans, $11.91. The new crop down 7.75 cents a bushel. Bean meal off $1.90 for the day. The bean oil for the afternoon, 60 cents lower. July wheat at $5.59.25, down 11.5 cents, and the hard red at $5.74, down 11.5 as well. Live cattle futures at $178.37.5, down $3.22.5. Feeders were off $5.37.5, and lean hogs were 32.5 cents lower for the day. Wayne Nelson from AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of commodity trade for the day. Hi, Wayne. Thank you for being with us. Tell me about the last 20 hours or so in Chicago and how trade has ensued at the board.
Well, you know, like I say, first off, it was a full moon. So yesterday we were sort of up and we got our turnaround Tuesday just so to make Kurt happy because he likes me to have a turnaround Tuesday.
Yes, he does.
But we've been under pressure after we got going today, the technical driven selling and pre-report positioning. And, you know, the beans, we've got poor bean export numbers and just poor export demand because South America right now is about $1.50 under us. So we're sort of sitting back. And then, of course, we're waiting on Thursday at noon or 11 o'clock your time to really find out and see because whether we're going to be above or below the trade expectations.
We'll come back to the prospective plantings and the grain stocks numbers in just a moment. I do want to check in to make sure that there is nothing involved with the incident that happened in Baltimore and the bridge there with the Maersk ship that would be involved in logistics or anything else. I don't believe that there will be, but I'm wondering whether the trade had any reaction at all.
I think that if you looked at things and the more we dug into that, it's mainly imports of cars and things like that there. They can ship. There is some grain shipped other, but very, very minimal. And they basically didn't figure there was any real thing that way. Just more than when something big like that happens, why, you know, there's always a little wonderment of where it was caused. Was it on purpose? Wasn't it? But all the indications point to just a plain accident for right now. And boy, what a tragedy for the few people that have to be on the bridge.
It is a horrible tragedy and one we do not like to see. Turn your attention now to those Thursday reports. They're due out at 11 o'clock our time, noon in Indiana. Both the grain stocks and prospective plantings report. I know AgMarket.net has a set of numbers. What is the trade looking forward to?
Well, I think in corn, the average estimate of the analysts is at 91.77. That the Ag Outlook Forum, which we're thinking that the government might stick closer to that, was 91,000 acres of corn being planted. So last year we planted 94.6. So there's a reduction there in that. But the beans, the average estimate is 86.53. Last year, at the Outlook Forum, 87.5. So that's a little bit lower than what they're expecting. The average guess is lower than what the Ag Forum Outlook did that way. So we're going to be looking at that. And, of course, we'll be looking to see if the carryout numbers or the ending stocks are grown like that. So that's one of the things, and it's a big deal. And the other thing is we're looking at this report, and I don't know, it'll be the report later, but are we going to get close to what Brazil says their production is and what we're saying it is and the difference there? But unfortunately, these are some pretty big numbers for this time of year, and exports, staying down and thinking for a little higher numbers coming in on the stocks.
And we'll have to watch and see what the April WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report, shows for production, particularly out of Brazil, and how much of that can be made up by an Argentine crop that is in fairly good shape. What else are you watching this week in Chicago?
We saw that Russia was cutting back their oil output to try to go along with OPEC requirements here like that. So that's just a little bit different to what we saw. They've been, pretty well selling a lot of crude oil to pay for the war, and that's just a little bit different for them doing that. We also saw that Russia's trying to take over the second largest wheat exporting company there, and they're trying to force them into selling out just like they did Cargill, ADM, and Bunge. The government wants control of the grain shipments coming out of Russia.
And one last note, congratulations to you on your impending semi-retirement from the daily programming content here at WILL on Tuesdays, although I believe you'll probably join us for our Commodity Week program for a few more months anyway. And then, of course, you're going to continue with your crop insurance business there at L&M Commodities once we get into the month of April. And, I have to say that I think it's been nearly four decades that you have volunteered on the air here at WILL on Tuesday afternoons at 2:00 every week, week in and week out. And almost always I could call you 1 minute before we need to go on the air and you were there, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Todd. It's been a real joy and privilege for me to do that.
We'll talk with you one more time again next week. Have a good week.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is at agmarket.net and L&M Commodities. And congratulations go to Wayne on his semi-retirement at the end of this month. Let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. We're now joined by Dan O'Brien. He's at Kansas State University Extension. Hi, Dan. Thank you for being with us. You have been making some presentations as of recent, and the title is pretty interesting. You're trying to win the game, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'll bet farmers are getting a kick out of that, actually, as they talk to you and are thinking about what's been happening with the marketplace in general. I'd like to start with the U.S. corn use and ending stocks figure from your PowerPoint presentation. Can you explain to me just a little bit about what you were trying to get across to producers there in Kansas?
Well, we're trying to help shed light on trends in usage in past years and how that might affect the setting off into the future. And U.S. corn ethanol usage has been pretty stable. And back in the 2021-22 marketing year, we used about 5.32 billion bushels of corn for ethanol production, with a little lower production, a little smaller crop in the 22-23 marketing year. We did cut back some down to 5.2 billion bushels. But now again, in this current marketing year, we're projected at about 5.375, and actually that number is thought to be really to even move a little bit higher heading off into next year. So, pardon me. So anyway, you've got a strong underpinning of usage for the ethanol side as we head off into throughout the rest of the 2024 calendar year and the marketing year is involved. So that's been positive. And when we try to look at what that's indicative of, we see the U.S. corn ethanol production amounts still, although the stocks show a lot of variability, and again, seasonally, you head off into summer driving season, and we use a lot of gasoline mixed with ethanol in it, And so we certainly see the seasonal ups and downs of stocks usage, and production for ethanol has really been pretty stable. And nowadays, it's probably more of a situation where if we have a late freeze, as you remember in the last 1 or 2 years, down in Texas where we had that catastrophe impact the ethanol production. The whole energy industry down there has certainly impacted ethanol production as well, or another catastrophe like COVID or something like that. Other than that, we've been pretty stable at using this about 5.2, 5.3 billion bushels of corn for ethanol, and that's been a real underpinning of the supply of the demand side for corn. Exports ups and downs. So you've got at the same time that ethanol has been holding really pretty steady, moving up to 5.4 billion. We're looking at the supply demand balance sheet for corn at about, well, at the high side 2 years ago, just under 2.5. Low side with a short crop down to 1.7, projecting about 2.1 for this year, with the USDA's numbers showing not showing any decrease really. So you've got that in place, and for us the profitability of the ethanol sector reflects quite a bit how much they're willing to pay for corn. So the most recent set of numbers end of last week on March 22nd, we're showing in Illinois an average price of $4.38. Of course, that's down from about $6.48 last year. Of course, we had things happening last summer. So that Illinois price, again, about $4.38 compares with Indiana, about $4.35, so a little bit higher. If you look at Iowa, about $4.40, $4.48. Whether it's good or not, in Kansas, we actually have the highest highest average corn price paid for ethanol plants on March 22nd of $4.73. It's great. That's a great deal if you're a corn grower selling to those plants. It's probably not so good if you're an ethanol plant having to pay a higher price for your input. It makes you a little less competitive than others. So anyway, that's sort of the situation, and I haven't heard of market analysts either university or private or the private side having concerns about whether ethanol usage and market support for the overall corn market overall, whether that will actually soften this year. We're more concerned about just having an adequate sized crop to keep the price of corn going into ethanol plants reasonable, and probably some concerns just about the overall economy. Again, where these ethanol plants operate on the margin. You know, you've got ethanol and the DDG revenue going out, the corn cost coming in, so we're at least it's what we anticipate at this time. We're not looking at any major shortfall or change, which is a positive thing, and that would lend a positive situation of lend stability to the ethanol industry.
I suppose the indicator would be if a plant begins to idle or they shut plants down, one of the two, that they're simply not making enough money. But that hasn't happened for a while at this point. The last time around, well, it was a few years ago, and they shut some plants down in Indiana, which I believe have reopened. But just idling plants is one of the ways that they manage their losses. It appears that there will be plenty of corn unless there is a problem with the season, at least so far. Should be, and maybe more than enough for the ethanol industry to continue to grind through stocks and on the margins at least make money. You also, in this particular slide set, talk about soybean use and ending stocks. I suppose some of that's related to the domestic crush, which is also related to renewable diesel and biofuels.
We have a divergent trend going on with basically since 2020-21 marketing year, when we had about 2.14 billion bushels of soybeans used went into crush, 2.27 basically billion going into exports. You've seen the trend through 23-24 where we've been on the downside for U.S. soybean exports, from 2.266 in 2021 down to about 1.7 billion bushels of exports in 2023-24. We have just the opposite trend with a steady upward move from that 2.14 billion bushels in 2021 up to a 2.3 billion projected for this 2024 marketing year ending at the end of August, and actually a projection of 100 million bushels higher than that for ethanol usage heading off into 24-25 coming out of the USDA Ag Outlook Conference. So just a challenge for the export side, but very indicative, as you already said, of the growing usage of renewable diesel, biodiesel, all coming into play, and the government policies at least moderately supporting that happening. That market, as we set out here in the Western Corn Belt, clearly fewer plants we have are aiming for the West Coast. You know, they're trying to take advantage of their logistical advantages in getting fuel out there over more distantly located plants. So even out here in the Corn Belt, in the Western Corn Belt, where we don't have a lot of crush plants, you do see particularly around in the eastern part of Kansas and up into Nebraska, no doubt also, plants that are developing specifically to crush oil seeds, and canola being an issue farther to the west, soybeans in the central part. There's new plant going. There's a plant that exists in a place called Emporia. Another new plant being built farther down southeast. So clearly, they are positioning themselves for the renewable fuels expansion, and that's even more so up into the Dakotas, et cetera. You got the Western Corn Belt seeking to capitalize on the oilseed mandated usages coming out of the West Coast.
Is that why you titled this 2024 Grain Market Outlook, Winning the Game?
Well, actually, the truth of that is that our good friend from the University of Minnesota, Ed Usset, had actually coined that phrase, and we work with Ed on these workshops, and it's a catchy, I guess, an attention-getting, catchy phrase, because it is a challenging enterprise, and we're probably on the edge calling it a game, but it is a marketing profitability game that farmers enter into when they seek to market their grain.
Hey, thank you much. We'll talk with you again in a month.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with K-State University Extension. On this Tuesday, let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, I don't know whether you've gotten snowfall out of these last events or are expecting some more snow or not. Let's start in your part of the world, because there are series or waves of weather that are been making their way across the United States. Can you tell me about them?
Yeah, we're going to have more. We just got done with that big storm across the northern plains. It's still bringing some heavy snow and a lot of wind to the northern sections of Wisconsin and Minnesota as we speak right now. That's going to be followed by a brief warming trend in the nation's midsection, but there's going to be another storm system coming out of the Rockies over the Easter weekend, and that's going to spread more rain into the central and eastern areas of the United States, more snows in the northern plains. We could very well see snow again across parts of the Dakotas, Nebraska, into the upper Midwest with this next system as we get into early next week. And on the warmer southern end of these systems, as they go west to east, will be thunderstorms and areas of rain. The coldest of the cold will stay in the northern and western areas, But also, we are expecting the Corn Belt Midwest to see some cooler weather to start April. Some of that colder weather in the northwest areas of the U.S. will come on in.
It will allow the cool weather, that is, for the rainfall precipitation to work its way into the soils as long as they've started to thaw. I suspect that's the case in most places. How much precipitation in liquid form might we be getting, and does that differ across the Corn Belt?
Well, certainly over the next week, a lot of very common amounts are going to be a half an inch to an inch and a half. The heaviest looks to be in the eastern Corn Belt. So northern, eastern Illinois and Indiana and Ohio up into southern Michigan. The lighter amounts will be a little bit further to the south and west, but even portions of Missouri, southern and southern Illinois, half to three quarters of an inch. If we were to go out and look at the two-week trends in the weather, the week following could be bring that much or even more. As these systems are lined up in the North Pacific, spaced about 3 or 4 days apart, and they're just going to go right across the U.S. So the end of March into the first couple of weeks of April is going to be very busy weather-wise. There's going to be plenty of weather to watch, look at, and expect.
Persistence is something that happens with the weather as we move from winter to spring. Do you suppose this lineup will continue late into April as well?
Sure looks like it. I think probably into early May. One thing that we keep a track of is the Arctic Oscillation, what we call the Eastern Pacific Oscillation. And these are pressure patterns across the northern, far northern hemisphere and the far north Pacific. And we can see these out to 45 days. And what we see out to 45 days is both of those in phases that historically bring stormy weather in the spring. And we see that going at least into that first week of May. So there's no reason to think we're going to hit a warm, dry stretch anywhere across the U.S. over the next, at least the next 3 to 4 weeks.
I believe that the Safrinha or second crop corn in the center west part of Brazil has been getting some rainfall and expected to get some more. Do we have persistence there as well?
We do. In fact, with the dissipation, the rapid dissipation of El Nino out in the eastern Pacific, we're really starting to see the weather pattern change in Brazil. And it has gotten more wet, and that trend continues here for the next couple of weeks. Really biasing some of the central and northern growing areas, but some of the southern growing areas, at least looking at average amounts of precipitation. So it looks like the patterns there in the southern hemisphere have changed and changing in response to those changes in sea surface temperatures out in the Pacific.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next Tuesday.
See you then.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, where you can listen to our programming anytime you'd like. Just click and play from the website at willag.org or look us up in your favorite podcast applications. Search out the Closing Market Report Commodity Week or the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy in places like Apple Podcast and Spotify and so many more. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.